Moncrief on News Talk.
For many years, the authorities in Austria have wrestled with the problem of what to do with the birthplace of Adolf Hitler. It's been a subject for much debate, with solutions ranging from demolition to turning it into a centre for young people to discuss democracy. And this has been complicated by the fact it's also become a shrine for neo-Nazis. Well, now it's been remodelled and opened as a police station. Deborah Cole is Berlin correspondent for The Guardian. Good afternoon, Deborah.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Where is the birthplace of Hitler? What town is it in?
So it's in a small city called Braunau am Inn, which is just on the German border.
And is it a very old building? And, you know, describe what it's like for us.
Yeah, so it's actually a quite elegant building, and it's been through many sort of iterations over the centuries. Parts of the building date actually from the 17th century, and it had been updated over the years. And now they've opted for a much more sort of simple facade, and they've painted the building white. But most importantly, they've put a police station inside.
Yes, indeed. Now, Hitler was born there, but his family didn't live there for very long, as I understand.
That's right. So Hitler and his family actually only lived there for a few weeks after his birth, and then they moved to another place in town, and then other places in Germany. So the actual link, you know, to Adolf Hitler himself is fairly tenuous. That has not stopped, though, neo-Nazis from turning it into, as you mentioned, a shrine, and causing a real nuisance for the about 18,000 people who live in Braunau am Inn.
Yeah, and also not just the neo-Nazis, but perhaps it's become a bit of a kind of tasteless tourist spot.
Yeah. You know, you have this sort of trend of dark tourism. And of course, you know, this quite qualifies. And so, you know, you do get sort of drunken travelers, you know, doing the straight arm Nazi salute outside the building and things. And so people in town have taken to calling it the House of Evil, not only because of its associations with, you know, with the Nazi Party, but also for, you know, the havoc that this wreaks on their sort of small, quiet community.
Oh, my word. And so what kind of uses has it been put to over the years?
Well, it was used as a school for decades after the war, and it was also turned by the Interior Ministry. They rented it from the proprietors, who was it. This family, they were descendants, actually, of the family that rented to the Hitler family, in fact. And they kept ownership of the building for decades, but they rented it out to the Interior Ministry, and they used it as a care home for people with special needs, which, of course, you know, was one of the groups actually targeted for extermination by the Nazis. So that was a quite sort of poignant solution for what to do with this kind of toxic building. But then there were various legal, you know, disputes and things, and the building was actually empty from 2011 until last week when the police moved in.
Right. Okay. And what kinds of you did mention neo-Nazis using it as a shrine? Are they leaving things behind there?
Yeah, so Hitler's birthday, famously on the 20th of April, is across the world in places associated with him and with the Nazis. Often a date where people will leave, you know, roses. In some cases, there was one German man who left a wreath outside, and criminal proceedings against him have continued. They haven't nabbed him quite yet. But there's this... this birthday of someone they're quite devoted to.
Yeah. So so over the years, there has been a lot of discussion about what uses the building should be put to. Why did they settle on turning it into a police station?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, there was this idea of trying to turn it into sort of a pro-democracy center where young people from around the world could gather. And it was a very idealistic idea of, you know, to basically fumigate this toxic building and replace it with something, you know, quite beautiful. And a majority of Austrians, according to one poll, supported that idea. But the authorities ended up deciding that probably the most effective way to stop neo-Nazis from gathering gathering outside would be to kind of put the fear of God in them by actually having police officers inside. You know, so you've got like a sort of fortress-like building that will, you know, that has security cameras all out, you know, all around. And of course, these Nazi, you know, gestures and symbols are illegal under Austrian law. So anybody who tries pulling this now, you know, can probably reckon with immediate, you know, arrest.
Yes. And but this police station is an normal run-of-the-mill police station. It seems to have a specialization.
Yes, so it's actually focused on narcotics trafficking. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Braunau am Inn is located on the border between Austria and Germany. And that has meant that the town and the region are you know, very attractive for drug runners in Europe. And so the added benefit of having this location is being able to replace, you know, to place a trafficking unit at a place where it can be quite useful.
Right. Okay. And even when, as I understand it, when they were carrying out the renovations, they had to put the rubble from it in a secret location.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been covering these issues and, you know, the legacy of the Nazi past in Germany and Austria for, you know, the better part of three decades. And nevertheless, there are still things that surprise me. So, yeah, when I was researching this story last week, they said, as you mentioned, that they needed to even remove the rubble and not put it in any sort of prominent place because they feared that that would then be turned into a shrine. Now, people, the sort of, you know, hardcore of neo-Nazis who gather regularly outside Hitler's birthplace, many of them belong to this sort of blood and soil ideology, and they tend to particularly revere birthplaces and grave sites. And so that was why, you know, this notion of having anything that could be sort of authentically linked with Hitler himself could just be too attractive, you know, for them to resist. So they have disposed of this rubble at a secret location.
Huh. That's quite extraordinary. Where he died, is that a shrine as well?
Well, no, that was actually a very interesting chapter as well, Sean, because suicide at the end of April 1945 in the famous Führer bunker in Berlin, together with Eva Braun. And that was, the site of that was essentially paved over, was turned into a parking lot. And for years in Berlin, it was sort of an open secret as to where it was. But there was no marking, there was no sign, there was no memorial near the site, memorial to the victims, of course. They decided that it was best to try to pretend that people didn't know where it was. It's this parking lot behind a Chinese restaurant. And then on the eve of the World Cup starting in Germany in 2006, they decided it was time to confront this history head on, knowing that they were going to be attracting people from all over the world. And they put up a very big sign that has lots of information as to who Hitler was, what the Nazis did, who their victims were, and, you know, just decided to let fresh air and you know, own up to all of this and be as transparent as they could about it. And it worked. You really do not have, you know, neo-Nazis gathering there in any great numbers.
Oh, that's interesting. Is there any memorial at the police station now?
Yes. So there was a memorial at the police station, actually, for quite a long time. There was a big sign or sort of a big stone outside that actually came from the Mauthausen concentration camp, which isn't very far away. And it is dedicated to the victims of the Nazis.
Now, the Freedom Party, even though they're not in government, they're still the biggest party. Do they have a view on this?
So they have not been very vocal about it. I mean, it's an open secret, you know, that they, it's a well-known fact, in fact, that the party was founded by former Nazis after the war. And they have called, you know, for drawing a line under the past. They've also sought to sort of cultivate this idea that, in fact, Austrians were not co-perpetrators of the Holocaust and the other crimes of the Nazis, but that Austria, you know, that the country was the sort of first victim of the Nazis because, you know, the country was annexed by Germany under Hitler. But yeah, you know, I went and covered the election, the general election in Austria in September 2024. And the Freedom Party's leader, Herbert Kicher, likes to hold rallies, for example, at places that were of significance to the Nazis. So it's sort of, you know, this wink, wink, nudge, nudge to their supporters. But they haven't done anything as overt as, you know, calling for any other use for Hitler's birthplace than a police station.
And I suppose it remains to be seen whether this strategy works or not. Deborah, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Deborah Cole there, Berlin correspondent for The Guardian. John says, we went on a historical walking tour in Munich many years ago. There were about 10 people of all nationalities on the tour, including three young men who burst into Erika, the SS marching song, when the guide pointed out the beer hall where Hitler used to hold meetings in the 1920s. The guide called the police, who arrived within minutes. Gosh, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.